The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Aggies get it back. Looking for a miracle. House lays it in. Jesperson throws it in. Jones dunks it down. And can the Aggies pull off a miracle in Oklahoma City? House tries the three and throws it. Danuel House has pulled the Aggies within three. Jesperson will inbound.
Great
the
play.
Home run to Carlson for the dunk. Back to a two-possession game. Caruso, still a two-possession game. Caruso, thing roll counted, a foul with 11.8. Washington trapped in the corner. No timeouts for the Panthers. So Washington throws it into the hands of the Aggies. Gilder lays it in. Tie game 71.
And the Aggie fans are going crazy. They never thought this was even possible with 44 seconds to go.
The Aggie season was over with 44 seconds left in regulation. And now they're on to the Sweet 16 in Anaheim.
Crazy 30 seconds. That, a 30 seconds that we aren't going to be able to ever have an answer for, nor do we need one. It just happened to go that way. Congratulate Texas A&M on just staying in there long enough. You know, if they made one small mistake in that last 30 seconds, anything, and we would have still got out of there.
Well, it's a good day to be an Aggie. And 15 other teams. And it's always a good day to be us. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, the role model. John Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday, and if you're an Aggie, you should be in a great mood.
Yeah.
If you're a UT fan, maybe not so much. If you're an SFA fan, you probably feel like you got kicked in the scrotum.
Yeah.
But that's what makes this tournament so much fun, is there's always one game every year where something magical happens, and we actually had a couple of them. And that was one. The A&M comeback is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. As much as it was an A&M comeback, it was a
melt.
It was a choke job more than anything. I mean, they basically just gave them 6 points during that stretch, but it's fun to watch, I thought.
Yeah, one of the craziest finishes I've seen in sports, period. Obviously, the biggest last-minute comeback in tournament history. I mean, it was, I think, in college basketball history.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, and everything that could have gone wrong for Northern Iowa went wrong. So Northern Iowa, who... I mean, let's face it, kind of luck boxed their way into the second round.
Yeah.
Let's face it, kind of luck boxed their way out of it, too. So
exactly.
You know, that's you feel bad for them, but at the end of the day, good for Texas A&M for hanging in there and keeping the pressure on. And, you know, the injury to Bohan and him, he's kind of their trigger guy, and for him to be on the bench during that time, at some point, Ben Jacobson's got to call a timeout and say, hey, dude, if you're not dead, we need you to go out there and inbound because everybody else is struggling. So, but either way, they got it done.
And that was exciting. It was, as you mentioned, the luck box their way into a win. That was just an awful way for UT to lose the other day,
man.
Too. I mean, they fought and they clawed and they get back in the game, and guy throws one in from half court, and as soon as he let go of it, it looked good. Especially when they showed the shots from behind where it was just right on line. Like, oh, no, that would be a horrible way to lose. And it was.
And it was. And that happened. And boom goes the dynamite.
As it were. So yeah, there's a lot to get to on the tournament. We'll definitely hit all of that and a lot more. 713-780-3776. But I think what the people care about is those who haven't seen social media want to know how your fight went.
Went well. It did not last very long at all. And my knee is intact. I'm not here on crutches today, which is good. And I was victorious, so it was good. It was good. Good result. Positive result, Fred.
Well, that's good, considering, you know, all the knee problems and everything.
Yeah.
Be able to get back in there and get a win. Good for you.
Thank you, Fred.
How was your weekend?
It was pretty good until today. And you know how I get. When I do a fight camp, I tend to I'm pretty clean on how I eat, and I'm very cognizant of everything that goes into my body. And when that ended, I started poisoning myself. And I drank beer and scotch all weekend, and I feel pretty much like crap today. So I put a bunch of terrible food into me. So now my body is sort of revolting right now.
Mm.
Well, so there was literally a time today when I was like, I'm gonna have to call Jong and tell him I can't do the show because I didn't think I could stand up long enough to get here. But I'm a gamer, and here I am.
You're a professional. You can That's do right. this.
What did it for you? Like I saw a lot of your posts. What did it for you? What food? What restaurant did for you?
I don't know. I ate Whataburger last night. I ate a patty melt and onion rings. And I feel like all that grease combined with all the beer I drank and all the scotch I drank, it was just a mixture. And I ate fried chicken and donuts this weekend.
I've been wanting to try that place. The
place is badass. Yeah? Lee's Fried Chicken and Donuts. And it's relatively well priced, so it's a really good place if you haven't tried it yet. But I think it's a mashup of things. All the poison that I put into my body just finally caught up to me, and like it started last night. I had a hard time sleeping, and because just my guts were rumbling, and then I took some Pepto and some Gas-X, and this is way too much information. But I had a hard time falling asleep because my stomach was hurting. And then today has been much of the same. And I've been like laid up on the couch, catching up on TV. I watched the Spurs Warriors game that I didn't get to watch on Saturday night. So I'm kind of caught up now on everything, but I have not been in a good spot physically today, unfortunately.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm glad you came in for the people because they missed you Friday.
Oh, well, good.
So
I'm glad. I like when they miss me. I want them to miss me a little bit.
Yeah, you know, not too much, but enough to where they realize, it's good to have everybody right here. But I had a fun weekend. I actually ran my first race since I hurt my knee, and it went great. I mean, it was really slow because it was down there at Minute Maid Park, and it goes up a couple of overpasses, and miles 2 and 4 were directly into the wind, which was, oof, you know, was bad all weekend and uphill.
It was super windy this week.
Yeah, so that part wasn't much fun, but I was just glad I could do it and didn't hurt myself, and I came out of it great. So I'm back on track again because I hadn't been able to do anything for a month, and it's the first time I've really been able to do any exercise. So that was fun. And then we drove to a little place called Kinney, Texas, which is near Belleville.
Okay.
Because this country artist from Canada that the wife loves was playing South by Southwest, and he went down there and he did an acoustic show.
Okay.
At this little bar, which and it was great. I'm not big on country, but he's kind of a sense of humor guy. Every song's funny, so it was really cool. But that place was the most redneck place I've ever been in my life.
Excellent.
And there was a dude sitting in front of me with a Jesus tattoo with a rebel flag flying from it.
Makes sense.
And yeah, I kind of was trying to figure out, well,
a lot of people don't know this about Jesus. He was a big supporter of the Confederacy.
Well, apparently so, because that's what this guy had. Yeah. But it was fun. And then I got caught up on some movies. I finally saw The Big Short,
okay,
which is fantastic. I mean, it is just amazing how good that movie is. And Spotlight I saw also, which might be the best movie I've ever seen. I'll never watch it again because it's too intense.
The best movie you've ever seen?
I think it's up there, man. But it's one of those, you know how like I'll watch movies 100 times if I like them?
Yeah.
I'll probably never watch that one again.
Okay.
Because it's just...
Because it turns you on.
No, it's just too friggin' emotional, you know?
Okay, yeah.
When you're talking about kids getting raped by Catholic priests.
Yeah, that doesn't make me happy.
No, that's not something that you think, oh, I want to go watch this. But
I can't wait to experience that again.
Exactly. But the one thing I'll say about it is most journalism...
Imagine
movies,
how Jong feels. He grew up in the Catholic Church. Yeah. It's very traumatic for him.
He probably cringed every second of the show. So, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. I thought he was just being friendly. But the one thing I would say about it is I've seen a lot of movies about newspapers and journalism throughout my life, and none of them are ever very accurate. This thing was as spot on as anything I've ever seen. I mean, the way they even with the new editor coming in, everything was just right down to the detail was damn near perfect. So maybe that's why I enjoyed it so much. But, you know, the actual story and all the stuff that was going on is just too intense, man. It's just one of those things that, you know, you don't need to see it again, but you need to see it once.
Right.
But Big Short, too, I have to say, just very well done. So I would have been happy if either one of those had won Best Picture, so... I'm feeling better about Hollywood now because the last four or five movies I've seen have all been pretty good, and those two were just outstanding. So, have you seen any of those yet, John?
I have not.
Okay.
John doesn't have time for movies. He's got a girlfriend.
Well, you know, you can watch a movie with your girlfriend.
They are busy having sex constantly.
Yeah, that's true.
Is the sex getting old yet with her, John?
No.
Still good?
Yeah.
Still as good as the first time, though?
Well, you know how it happened the first time.
I mean, is it like...
I guess the second time would be a better question.
Are you starting to...
No, it's still the same.
Are you starting to try to convince her to experiment with some new stuff to spice it up?
No.
Okay, so you're still good with just the old, yep. the old fastball.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Good down the
you.
Middle.
Good for you.
I've got some gladiator outfits if you guys want to borrow them. They're really useful.
They're probably a little
don't
too big.
Borrow any of Fred's sex-related items.
I'm a good half a foot shorter
that
than you are.
That can't go well for you, I promise.
You know, you can... Hey, Maximus had to wear stuff that was too big for him, too.
No, but on Saturday, she hasn't seen Man of Steel, so that Batman Superman is coming out soon, so we watched Man of Steel on Saturday. That was about it.
Hmm. What did you think of that?
I mean, I've seen it before. Oh, okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's as Superman movies go, it's all right.
Yeah, for some reason, they can never get a Superman movie right.
Gerald says, you got to love the Kenny story. You're bound to hear some NASCAR or some frog-killing stories. Yeah, it was, but I got to say, it was kind of cool. I wanted to eat there because I hear the food's great, but that place was packed, man. There were more people to see him there than there were when we saw him at House of Blues last year in that little bitty restaurant / bar place.
Yeah.
But I tried hard to get a picture of the Jesus tattoo. And
you failed.
I could just never quite get the right angle. I've got some fuzzy versions of it, but. I just thought, you know, that's, I don't know how those two things go together, but I'm sure they work for him. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Tournament stuff, football stuff, generic stuff. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
This would give Northern Iowa a three-point lead with 11.9 to go. Second one for Washman. Short. Rebound, Texas. They tie with a two. Taylor brings it in the front. Isaiah into the front court. 7 seconds to go. Taylor on the drive to the right side. 4 seconds. Three puts it up. It's good. 2.7 to go. Northern Iowa, will they use their final timeout? Apparently not. It'll be inbounded. And at midcourt, it's launched at the buzzer. Oh, oh my goodness. A mid-court shot wins it for Northern Iowa, 75-72. Cut your heart out and leave it on a table or on the floor of a Chesapeake Energy Arena. The Texas Longhorns lose a heartbreaker on a mid-court shot at the buzzer.
And we are back on the Blitz. That was from the Texas game. Poor Craig. Kind of took him a second to realize what had happened there.
Yeah.
But
that was crazy, too.
Yeah. Well, and every year that happens where somebody hits the last second shot. And hell, it happened to SFA yesterday. Those guys played their ass off.
Those guys, I feel bad for them. They got screwed.
I think so, too.
And that's a... Well, there's a few bad teams still hanging around in this thing.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's one of them. But Stephen F. Austin deserved to be in. They deserved to win that game.
They did. But, yeah, it's funny because I bet them pretty heavy in the first game, and I did not money line them. I was kicking myself. But yesterday, they were one-point favorites. Yeah. I couldn't play them at that. And... I think they deserve to be 1 point.
They should
favorites.
Have been, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was exciting. We'll look ahead to some of the matchups coming up, and we're just 2 weeks away from having these guys here in town for the Final Four. So we'll look a lot of that. Look a lot of the possibilities there. I wanted to get to the Rockets for just a second because apparently your guy Dwight Howard is quite the cheater.
Yeah, apparently. So, did you know that Stick'em was a thing for NBA guys? Is that
No, I didn't. I don't know how that would help you. How does it help you on free throws?
I don't know. I don't know how that helps you, period.
John, you're the basketball
rebounding
guy. But he's got monster hands. How?
I mean, I don't know.
Isn't it weird, too? Like, you would think that if anybody's going to use Stick'em, it'd be the guy who handles the ball the most.
Yeah.
I mean, how often does Dwight even touch the ball? Bro. And if he's doing this all the time, that's a little strange to me.
Yeah, I guess he's been doing it for 5 years. I guess we should look up his free throw numbers over the last 5 years and see how much lower than... Because to me, that would hurt your free throw shooting.
Yeah.
And your regular shooting.
Well, Millsap, he thought it was going to hurt his free throw shooting. He said, no thanks.
And the Rockets lost, of course.
Of course they did.
So it didn't help. But the fact that they tried to cover it up, I guess Bickerstaff was trying to stand between the ref and the bottle... That was there, and it's always something with these guys. I mean, I'm already out on them as a team, as you know. But you look at the West; they could miss the playoffs. They could still get up to sixth.
Yeah,
when it's all said and done, which is where you want to be. You don't want to be 2 or 7. You got no shot there. But it'll be interesting to see what happens, if anything, with this.
I don't think anything's going to happen. I mean, it's. I don't think it's the biggest deal.
I don't either.
But who knows? Maybe there's some sort of small fine or something like that. I don't know. But it's a strange thing either way. Strange story.
And just looking at right now, they're a game ahead of Utah for the ninth spot, tied with the Mavericks at seventh. But they're only a half game behind Portland. And they're 5 games behind the Grizzlies, who are free-falling. And if the Rockets could actually win some games, they'd be easy to catch them, too. So... theoretically, they could get to 5, but I haven't seen anything from this team that makes me think they're going to play well enough to get to 5.
I don't either.
So I could just as easily see them in 9th.
Yep.
Which, I mean, they're consistent in that they are a 500 team, period. That's what they've been now almost all season. They're not the bad start.
That's what they'll stay.
Yeah, and they're sitting right there, 35 and 35. 2 weeks ago, they were 28 and 28. Before that, they were 21 and 21. It's this is just what they are. And it's just hard to get excited about them. And then you see stuff like this. You're like, really, guys? Stick them? That's what you're going to do? But, okay. 713-780-ESPN. So what coach in this tournament has guaranteed himself a bigger job besides Underwood?
Oof. That's tough, man. I mean, that's the thing about this. When you look at the Sweet 16, what's left, most of these teams left, there's not a lot of, Cinderellas per se. I mean, most of the schools that are left in are sort of basketball powerhouses, and it's not really a surprise to see their names in the Sweet 16. I mean,
but I'm also talking about guys who are already out. That have helped their stock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Because, I mean, Ben Jacobson's done this a couple times, and he should have a better job than he does, but he likes it there. So I don't really know who's necessarily lined themselves up for that. I think he would be one that jumps out to me. Even in defeat, that team overachieved a little bit. I think you could say the same thing for Wichita, who ended up losing, but they still played pretty well. I don't know. It's so hard to tell like what makes guys want to stay and go. I couldn't believe the news that the Dixon's leaving Pittsburgh to go to TCU. It doesn't make any sense to me, but it's your alma mater. I guess that's where you want to end up, but it's not a better job. I assure you of that.
No. I thought that was a little bit weird, but it also, I guess there's something to be said for wanting to coach at your alma mater.
I guess so.
A lot of people asking what we thought about the Spurs and Warriors on Saturday. That was
such a bad game to watch. I mean, it was a good game. It was well contested.
Yeah, but it wasn't great. The great basketball that we thought we were going to see.
Not a good
two.
Viewing experience for sure. And I think both those teams played well under what they should be playing. And I mean, listen, it's a good thing for San Antonio to win that game. They keep that streak alive. It's hard, and you have to give them some credit for the defensive effort. But Steph Curry and Klay Thompson had about as poor of a game as you could have, and they still made it a game. So I wouldn't panic either way.
For the same reason I wouldn't have panicked if I'm a Spurs fan when the Warriors blew them out the last time they played. You know what it struck me as is a couple of teams that didn't want to show anything that they're going to need to show later.
Could be. And it was strange, I thought, that Tim Duncan hardly played in this game. He missed the first game, and you would have thought, well, that may have been a reason why they got blown out. But they limited his minutes. David West was coming off the bench before Tim Duncan was. It was pretty weird. And no Andrew Bogut for the Warriors. But at the end of the day, whatever you are, I mean, Andrew Bogut's not going to help you make three-pointers, and they had their worst shooting game. Steph and Klay specifically had a terrible shooting game, and really, if it weren't for Draymond Green, this game wasn't close. Draymond Green kept them in that game because he was the only one who really, beginning to end, had a solid game for the Warriors. And another big difference for the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge, who played like garbage in the first game, man, that guy is just so good. He's good at everything. He shoots the ball well. He's a good passer. He was switching off to Steph Curry and defending Steph Curry outside the three-point line.
Yeah.
And actually, like, doing a good job. I mean, it's just crazy how versatile that guy is. And I think he's one of the more underrated players in the league. I mean, nobody talks about him being one of the best, but in my mind, he certainly is one of the best.
Ferobia says, so the two most boring teams in the league played a boring game? Shocking. If you think those are the two most boring teams in the league,
I disagree.
Yeah, I respectfully disagree, sir.
I'm guessing Frobius thinks the Rockets are exciting, where they score all their points at the free throw line. No thanks.
Yeah, I could go through a list of a lot of teams that are much more boring than these two.
But I mean, at the end of the day, there's no question that that's the two best teams in the league, and that series is going to be good. I don't know if either team can win on the other's home floor, but those two teams are so much better than everyone else. And even when they're clearly not on their games, you can tell that they're just – those are the best teams. One of those two teams is going to win the NBA title. I'm 95% sure.
I'll go even higher. I'll say 97% one of those two teams wins it. So,
all right, guys, law enforcement, they're stepping up their efforts. With no refusal weekends, they can force you to take a blood test. If your weekends suck because of a DUI arrest, don't despair. There's still hope, even if you failed the breath of blood test the police gave you. A lot of things about those tests you should know about. Police breath test machines, they're not even warranted fit for breath testing humans. They make temperature assumptions that create artificially high results, and they destroy the evidence, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. Same with the blood test. A lot of inaccuracies with the blood testing. It's not testing your actual blood. They're testing the air above your blood. It's a very indirect, very circumstantial test for alcohol. That's where attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. He's right here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about the faulty science behind these tests, and he's experienced in telling the truth in front of juries. A lot of lawyers will take a DUI case. Not very many are experienced in going to trial with them. If you failed the breath or blood test, whether it's DWI or DUI, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number in your cell phone right now at 713-524-1010 or visit texasdwilaw.com. That's 713-524-1010 for attorney Gary Trichter. I get high and I love to get low, so the hearts keep breaking and the heads just roll. You know,
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. 7 o'clock tonight, the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas. Henry filled in Friday, did a great job.
Admirably.
Yeah, he did a great job. I enjoyed hanging out with him and getting to know him a little bit, and they're out somewhere tonight, aren't they, John?
Max Sports Bar up north.
Okay. Yeah, it's in Spring. Yeah. It's off Louetta. It's close to my place.
So if you guys are looking for something to do tonight, go hang out with those guys. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. So if you're one of those people who quit watching the A&M game, which I'm sure there were a few.
Oh, no doubt.
I kind of went in the other room, and I had it on still, and then I heard them get the first 4 points. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch this, and I want to get to see a great finish, but you know who didn't get to see it?
Who didn't?
One of your favorite people, Skip Bayless.
Oh, what happened?
He tweeted out, down goes my long shot Final Four pick, and President Obama's, down goes A&M, Northern Iowa is so much better than I thought, March badness.
That's close to accurate, right?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if I would have been a big Aggie guy in this tournament, I would have probably felt the same way. I probably would have turned it off.
Probably. But then, of course, he tweets out in all caps, which I hate all cap guy.
I'm out on that, too.
I swear I turned off A&M game when they were down 10 with 30 seconds left. I happily missed what had to be the greatest comeback in Madness history. Yeah, you did, Skippy.
You did. Yeah, so, it was one of the greatest comebacks in history, not just Madness history.
No,
history.
And that's in college basketball history, and I mean even sports wise, you've got to put that up there. But John asked, "How would you rank these first two rounds of excitement compared to the last 10 to 15 years?"
They're always great.
Yeah, it's every year. Obviously there's nothing like this before, but every year there's something we've never seen before, and. There's always a couple of buzzer beaters every year. And then there's also a bunch of dog games, which Saturday's games weren't that interesting, to be honest. But there have been a lot of close games in this tournament. A lot of them come down to the wire. And that's the case a lot of years. So I mean, it's easy to get caught up in it, especially after what happened with A&M. But there's a reason I always say this. The first two rounds are the best part of the tournament.
It's the best week in sports.
And it kind of goes downhill from here because – you know, you have fewer games, and, you know, you're going to...
Well, the matchups are a little more even right now.
Yeah, yeah, and I think you're going to see... It's going to be interesting to see what happens, and we'll take a look at the matchups here at some point today.
There's still some really good games left, but it's not... There's not going to be another Middle Tennessee over Michigan State.
Right.
There's no upset that could happen that would be on that level.
The only... Well, even the Zags and Syracuse are your... Or your low seeds?
That's your Cinderellas. Yeah. Or Gonzaga and Syracuse.
Yeah.
Which by the way, I got to give Gonzaga some credit. I didn't think that team even deserved to be in the tournament. And I don't know if there's anybody who's been more impressive than them. I mean, they made Seton Hall look horrible. And I liked Seton Hall a lot coming into this tournament. I thought that they were very underrated. And then Utah, another team that I kind of thought was underrated, they just dominated. So you're talking about the third place team in the Big East and the third best team in the Pac-12, and Gonzaga just not only beat both of them but hammered both of them. Gonzaga deserves some credit. What they've done is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's one of the few games I actually missed on. But that was one of my big bets. So
the Seton Hall?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Well, because you liked it. RJ liked it. I liked it. Usually that's when I'm like, okay, time to unload. But that, and then I had Butler +8 against Virginia and wound up pushing and really should have had that covers. But other than that, man, I've had a really good weekend. I had a little bet on A&M, and I got beat on the hook there.
I still have all my Final Four in.
I have.
That's what matters to me.
My bracket was dead with Michigan State, and it was deader when Kentucky lost, so I'm dead.
All right.
And if I hadn't picked Michigan State to win it all, I would have picked Kentucky. So either way, I'd be dead.
I picked Indiana to defeat Kentucky.
I know you did. And you were right about that.
Thank you. That was actually a really good game, too. The final score wasn't as close as what the game was. That was a tight game all the way through. That was a really, really well-played game. That lived up to the hype that when you see the bracket, when it comes out and you're like, oh, Indiana, Kentucky in the second round.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fantastic. And I thought it was really a fantastic game. We didn't get Maryland, Cal, like I'd hoped.
We didn't get Texas A&M either.
Yeah. Cal had some unfortunate injuries. Texas, you saw how they lost. But some of those were spoiled, but that was the one that held true, and that was actually a really, really fun game.
Mike asked Tracy McGrady's comeback against the Spurs. That was what I was kind of thinking last night. It was close, one guy.
35 seconds, a 12-point deficit. 35 seconds. And here's the craziest thing. A&M didn't foul once in that 35 seconds. If you told me a team was down 12 with 35 seconds left and they would come back and send it to overtime without fouling,
yeah,
I mean, the odds of that happening are just astronomical.
And not only that, the fact that Northern Iowa did score a basket in there.
Yeah, like a breakaway dunk.
Yeah, and still blew it. But some of it was just really, really bad play by them. To give the A&M the ball in places where they could score easily and quickly. Let's grab a phone call. Brian, you get to lead it off. You're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, man. I know you guys have been talking basketball. I just had a question about the Astros. With McCullers starting out on the DL, what are the odds that Wandy's able to slide in there and lock up that number five spot or even as a long relief guy just to kind of eat up some innings?
I mean, the problem is they don't really have much of an option besides him. So I'm guessing that's where they're going to start out with. But Wandy Rodriguez is no longer a viable starting pitcher. You know, he's not a guy that you feel comfortable going out there every game like he used to. But yeah, I'm guessing. I mean, based on what they've got available, he's probably the best bet.
Yeah, if he makes a team, that's the thing. And
well, I think that he's kind of forcing their hand. I mean, the McCullers injury, I think, is going to kind of force their hand to at least, you know.
Well, that first month, you can use four guys a lot, too.
That's true.
And because the way the things – and you still got Feldman, you got Pfister on there. Yeah. I mean, there's options. So, yeah, I mean, I think they kind of went in with six. And, you know, I would – assuming everybody's healthy, I think you still have – Keuchel, McHugh, Fires, and then Feldman and Pfister. That's not bad.
No.
I'd be okay with that, more so than Wandy. And everybody loves Wandy because
he used to be good.
He used to be good.
He suckers you.
He used to be here. And, you know, he's a popular little dude. But we'll see. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. We're 2 weeks away from baseball season. And really the only question with them is going to be health. If they're healthy, then, you know, this should be a fun team to watch this year. But the McCullers thing really worries me because that's a guy that I think could easily take a huge step this year. I love that guy's arm, and I think he's going to be a terrific pitcher. But, you know, hopefully this isn't something that's going to set him too far back. 713-780-ESPN. Frobius thinks the Tracy McGrady comeback was – he went God mode, and that one was way better. And A&M won because Northern Iowa forgot how to play basketball. I think there's an element of truth to that. But yeah, the McGrady one was one guy. That was what made that special. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So can I throw a little football in here?
I like football.
You like Colin Kaepernick too, don't you?
No.
You love Colin Kaepernick.
Not as much.
Apparently, neither did the Cleveland Browns, who came out and said that their interest in Colin Kaepernick was overblown by the media. And right now they're looking at Robert Griffin, but they still haven't made a decision on that. But I think this is all this reports of Kaepernick being traded and all these teams being interested. It's got to be coming from his agents, right? And they've got to try to drum up some interest in this guy. And I don't know who all's that interested in him. The Browns. And if you're the Browns, why would you trade for him when you're going to get your choice of the quarterbacks in the draft? And you know, whether or not that guy's ready, you've already got Josh McCown there. He can fill a void for a little bit. But the Browns are going to be so bad, though.
Oh, they're going to be rough. Yeah. But, I mean, listen, I can't imagine that there are I can't imagine there's a lot of teams lined up for Colin Kaepernick. I think they all kind of – the flaws have been exposed. Everybody knows the problems with that guy. I think most people are like us. They're looking at him as a backup quarterback-type player. And I think the problem is he wants starting quarterback money.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to have a hard time finding that.
McGrady's was 13 points in 33 seconds, which was pretty amazing. But there were three-pointers involved there. Let's take a quick break, grab some more phone calls when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's a Monday. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Rebels and mutineers. Go forth and have no fear. Come close and lend an ear. And I say, hey, hey, live it like you. You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The official ESPN 97.5 app is now available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. And just FYI, Feldman did pitch today and is a follow-up to the Astros thing. And three strikeouts and 3 2/3 innings. So it looks like he's going to be healthy and ready to go for the start of the season. So I think it'll be Feldman and Pfister at the back. So I'd be surprised if Wanda even made the roster, unless one of these guys gets hurt.
Like you said, it's well, and you remember pitching depth was an issue with them last year. Starting pitching depth. Like you said, sometimes it's easy to forget that Feldman's still on the team.
Yeah.
Because he just seemed like, I mean, when they signed him, he was such a big deal, and now he just seems like such a spare part, you know.
Right.
It's easy to overlook him, but yeah, the guy's a pretty valuable piece for him.
When he's healthy, he eats up a lot of innings. And,
yep. That's what you need him for.
Yeah. And so they're fine going in, but obviously if somebody else gets hurt, that's when you're going to start cutting into the bone. Let's try a phone call. Alex, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Sports, fellas.
Sports to you.
I wanted to get your opinion on the comebacks of A&M and Tracy McGrady versus that of Reggie Miller. And then also, I'd like to know what y'all think about the most exciting game of the Sweet 16.
Reggie Miller is kind of the other thing that pops up. Reggie Miller against the Knicks, where he was stealing inbound passes and jumping out and... his is similar to McGrady's, that he just kind of took over by himself.
Yeah.
This A&M thing, the reason it felt just so different to me is because they all pressed. Everybody played a role, and there wasn't 3-point shooting. It was, you know, defense, and they earned it all. As far as best matchup of the Sweet 16, I really think that Maryland-Kansas game is
that's the one I was going to say. I'm really intrigued by that one.
Is right up there amongst the best. And I think A&M Oklahoma is going to be pretty good too. I think there's a few good matchups still left.
Yeah,
North Carolina is going to be good.
That's the other game I was going to point out. I think that's a pretty good matchup. Those are the three that I'm most intrigued by. I think is
I don't think there's a bad matchup really.
No,
I mean when Gonzaga Syracuse they're the two lowest seeded teams and they're playing each other and I think there's. It's going to be interesting to see which one of those teams can keep up the momentum. Notre Dame-Wisconsin is probably the least interesting one to me.
Yeah, just because I can't see either one of those teams getting by Indiana or North Carolina.
No, but you know what, though? I didn't see Wisconsin doing half of what they've done so far either.
So yeah, that's – but I think it you know, from a Final Four perspective, and we'll get to this next segment, we'll talk about who would be the most interesting four that we'd like to see – here in 2 weeks, but let's squeeze in another phone call real quick. How about Matt?
Sports.
Sports to you.
And very good game, Golden State, San Antonio this weekend. But, you know, I live in Texas, so social media says, you know, San Antonio, way better, blah, blah, blah. But if they see each other, that's going to be the Western Conference Finals. Will Golden State shoot that bad again, and can San Antonio keep that kind of defensive pressure up in a seven-game series at the Western Conference Finals if they make it that far? Because I still think OKC has something to say about that, and I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I don't. I think OKC is barely in the conversation anymore. I think that those other two teams are just that much better. And I think you're going to see – it's no surprise that the two games that those teams have played against each other, the one in Oakland, the Golden State played much better, and the one in San Antonio played much better. Those two teams both have a ridiculous home court. That's why neither one of them have lost at home. It's no coincidence. And the problem is for San Antonio, Golden State's going to have home court advantage. That's not going to change. You know, Golden State's not going to lose four more games by the time the season's over. They're just not.
But I think in the playoffs, what you saw the other night is not what you're going to see in the playoffs. These two teams are – the one thing we saw that the Warriors did last year very well, they turned up their game in the postseason. The Spurs do it every year. I just think you're going to see two different teams. And I don't know – it's easy to sit here and say, oh, the Spurs have a chance because they won Saturday. And it was also easy to say, oh, there's no way the Spurs can beat this team when the Warriors blew them out. So it's just, you know, I think that's going to be your finals matchup and your Western Conference finals matchup, barring some silly injury. And I think it's going to be a hell of a series. It just comes down to, can San Antonio win in Oakland?
Yep. Can Golden State, I mean, hell, if Golden State can win one in San Antonio, I think it's almost over.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the thing. Playoffs are a different animal, and we'll see how it plays out. Right now, I still think the Warriors are a slightly better team, but I'm not going to count out the Spurs. Double Down says, how about the Hulkster with the body slam leg drop on Gawker? Did you see that in addition to the $115 million, they gave him $25 million more in punitive damages?
Good for the Hulkster. I wonder what he's going to spend it on.
Hookers and blow.
Probably tearaway T-shirts. He goes through them like nobody's business.
No. Bandanas.
Yeah. Bandanas, yeah. Hulk Hogan, he's one of those guys that he never embraced the baldness.
No.
You know, when I started, like the first hint that I was starting to fade up top, I just got rid of it all. It's not worth the battle to me. It always looks worse when you fight it. He like grew out everything except for that bozo ring on the top, and that's what he's stuck with. It's just not a good look, in my opinion.
I've tried to fight it because it's not bad enough yet that I can shave it, but it's not good enough either. And I look terrible if I shave my head. I just look ridiculous, which is rare because, you know, from the Middle Eastern side of the family, I should have a decent looking head, but I don't.
Yeah,
I have a very ugly head. 713-780-ESPN. So, yeah, that whole thing, he's going to wind up with $140 million.
That's a lot of dollars.
I'm guessing that this will play out in the courts for several years until they'll come up with some kind of settlement because there'll be appeals and everything else. But good for him. I mean, you know,
I wish someone would post my sex tape and give me $50 million.
I'd totally be okay with that.
For real.
I need to make one first. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I need to make one and then leak it.
Exactly, and then have Gawker. Well, I don't think Gawker will do it again.
No, they've learned their lesson.
They've probably learned their lesson, and they probably don't have any money left to give us. But get somebody to.
God, that's going to mean a lot of these Gawker-owned sites might go away. Deadspin's one of them.
Yeah.
Deadspin won't go away.
I don't know. I mean, that's an awful lot of money.
It is. I would imagine, though, they'd get rid of the ones that don't make them money, and at this point I would guess Deadspin's a pretty profitable site.
I would think, but it's gonna be very interesting. All right, guys, gotta tell you about my good friends at Quick Weight Loss Center. And if you've been thinking about losing weight and you've been putting it off, well, don't put it off anymore, because, you know, if you'd done this started a month ago, you could have 9-10 more pounds off already. That's how it works at Quick Weight Loss, and for 28 years now they've been helping people. They helped me. I haven't felt better in years. And I tell you what, it was all because of Quick Weight Loss Center. I got the weight off, and I've learned how to keep it off. that's a great thing. I go in and check in with them once a week. I'll be in there in the morning. And if I get off track, they put me right back on, and everything works out great. Most of the time I stay right on track, though, because they've taught me what to do. You can lose weight faster, easier, up to 100 pounds if you need to. No exercise required, no prepackaged meals. And right now you get 6 weeks for just $66, all weight loss services included, and kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions do apply. For your free, no-obligation consultation, drop by one of their 15 Houston area locations. I go to the one over on Kirby. Or if you're outside of Houston, go to quickweightlosscenter.com. Doesn't cost you anything to find out what they're about. You can also give them a call. 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center 1-888-305-1117.
ESPN 97.5.